Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Nicholas Crisp from the Department of Health. He's got to look forward, not backwards. A very good morning to you. How are you?
Morning, Howard. And morning to your listeners. I'm fine. Thank you very much.
Good. Well, I'm sure feeling a little bit easier as we seem to be exiting the third wave. The vaccine rollout's doing very, very nicely across most parts. Can you afford to breathe easier?
No, not yet. I'm afraid they're still very anxious. This week is a difficult week for us because the vaccine is not all in the pipeline yet. It only starts arriving during the course of this week, and we have geared up very fast. So there's quite a tight vaccine arrangements for this week, and some places might still even run out before the new stocks arrive.
So it's a very, very tight balance because you don't want to break the momentum either, as we're starting to see a lot of people going for the vaccinations. We certainly don't want to make them nervous and make them not.
Yeah, so, I mean, there are millions and millions of doses arriving in the next few days, in fact, between now and this time next week. But they go through, when they arrive in the country or they arrive in our pipeline, they still need to be quality checked and then distributed. And that's, you're talking about truckloads of little small bottles of vials of things. So it does take a while to get all the way through the system. And it's very nerve-wracking at the moment. But once this new pipeline is fully established with both the Johnson & Johnson and the Pfizer vaccines, for the rest of the, at least for the next 2-3 months, we should be absolutely fine.
At this stage, the vaccines that we are bringing, that we are using, are Pfizer and Johnson & Johnson. And earlier on in July, there was talk of the Chinese vaccine. Where are we in that process?
Yeah, we've been looking at other vaccines, not just the Sinovac vaccine, but re-looking at AstraZeneca, amongst other vaccines.
Right.
So the toss-up is always to make sure that you don't have all your eggs in one basket with one or only two vaccines. We've seen what happens if the supply chain is disrupted on one. It's always good to have a third possibility. But, the other thing is if you introduce too many vaccines into the program and they all have different schedules, it becomes confusing for vaccinators. It becomes difficult to manage in a lot of ways. So we are definitely looking at having at least a third, if not a third and a fourth vaccine available, but we're not at that point yet.
Right. So at this stage, it's Pfizer and it's Johnson & Johnson.
It's Pfizer and Johnson.
The new batches of Johnson & Johnson, the last time we spoke, you ring-fenced the Johnson & Johnsons for educational staff, which made sense because you could get them through the system in a different way. Now, from what I understand, the Johnson & Johnson's going to be used more broadly.
Yeah, that's correct. So the vaccine we got, the 1.5 million doses that we got with a short expiry date, all expires on the 11th of August. So we took it into what we call the essential services programs, where the education and social development sectors and the security cluster were targeted to get vaccines. Because we knew that we at that stage didn't have a pipeline to get it into the community programs. Now that we know it's coming, we can already start getting some of that vaccine into the difficult to reach areas. For instance, in our pensioner program at Pension Paypoint, where it's very difficult to get back to those same pensioners for a second time. And we can get some of the vaccine out into hard to reach rural communities now, because we know that there's going to be a backup on that pipeline. So things are shifting gear. There's a lot of changes in organization, and it's encouraging.
Right. And obviously on the system, people aren't going to be choosing which vaccine they want. If they've already had the first Pfizer, obviously they're going to be getting the second Pfizer. But if they are going to a site for the first time, they might be receiving a Johnson & Johnson or they might be receiving a Pfizer. Is that right?
Well, there are a few sites where Johnson & Johnson is available and Pfizer, because in a transition, that's likely to happen. Ideally, one doesn't really want more than one vaccine at the same site, because they're different needles, different syringes, different refrigeration and so on. But during a transition, that may well happen.
It will happen during the transition, but after that, there'll be dedicated sites. If you know you're going to site A, that's going to be a Johnson & Johnson site.
Yeah, I'm not saying there won't be exceptions, because sometimes you still see people from a community that you know you're never going to see again, and then you want to use the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, even at that site.
Right.
So there may be sites where we do have more than one vaccine available on the same site.
Is it, given the fact that we haven't vaccinated, we're moving through it, the demand is still very, very high, is it possible yet to ascertain if vaccine hesitancy is a real factor?
Yeah, look, I think vaccine hesitancy will always be a factor. It's always an issue, and it's something that we do need to watch. And there are others that are doing surveys that we receive the results of that warn us where that might be a factor. But, you know, there's an 80-20 principle. You get to 80% of the population with 20% of the effort, and then it becomes extremely difficult to get beyond that.
Mm.
And, you know, the percentages might be different, but it will always be difficult to get to the remaining portion. What we need to do right now is focus on getting the remaining older population. That's our risk population. So while we are targeting to increase the demand with younger people, the 35-pluses now and the 18 to 34s coming up, the focus remains to get the older population vaccinated as completely as is possible. They are the ones who are the most vulnerable for severe illness and the most vulnerable for hospitalization.
What is our policy? What is South Africa's policy in terms of kids below 18?
At the moment, we don't have vaccines registered for use of children under the age of 18. I'm pretty sure that it'll be a while before we get to a position where efficient adults are vaccinated before we get into children. And at the moment, where it's a rare disease and certainly rare to hospitalize a child for COVID, I'm sure it'll remain like that for the time being, at least.
Right. That's unfortunately where we do have to leave it. Nicholas Crisp, thank you always for making yourself available and bringing us all the relevant information.